Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Movie Torture, where we watch bad movies so you don't have to. As always, with us is the one and only, the man with the tiny hands, Mr. Baby Hands Brad, and the host of the show, the one that makes the announcements, the Mr. and only Pod/Godfather of podcasting, Jacob. And this show ain't complete without the one that we never get to meet, Mr. No TV, MTD, is in the crowd with us tonight. So join us as we get to talk about domestic disturbance.
Is he in the crowd, Jacob? I don't see him in the chat yet.
And I hope he is. You know, I'm starting to feel a little offended.
Maybe he's changing his diaper right now. We don't know.
Because every time I do remember to mention him in the intro, he's not on yet. And then when I forget, he is on.
And then he calls me up and he's like, Jacob never mentions me in the intro. I need intro status. And I'm like, okay, he'll do it. But then he's never here. I think he's here now, though.
But before we dive into this, my friend, there's a pressing matter we have to touch on, and I think it's important we touch on it because, one, we want to be true and honest with our fans and dear to our fans. And, you know, this is weighing heavy on me, and I feel like we should bring it up here and discuss it, events that took place here, okay?
Okay.
And I'm doing this because I love you, Brad, and you're a good pal.
Thank you. I'm the representative of Baby Hands, so yes, it's fine.
But we have to address of your mishap of wearing lady clothes.
Okay, first off, listeners, I don't wear ladies' clothes. I'm not transing. I'm a frequent visitor to the Goodwill, and I bought what looked like a really cool H&M jacket. Now, if you know H&M, it's very metrosexual. It can go either way.
It is.
And I'm like, man, this is $12. I'm buying this baby. So on Sunday, I wore it to church. MTD says I haven't heard about this. I'm in my office talking to Jacob, and I notice the zipper is on the left side of the jacket. So I start to worry. Have I been wearing a female jacket this morning while talking to people at church? Jacob then says, what do you tell me I'm wearing, Jacob?
I said, you're wearing a lady coat.
Oh, like, a lady coat.
Why are you walking around in a lady coat?
But, so then we start searching for any validation on the tags.
Now, let me tell you, I don't think I've ever dug and researched something so hard in my life of trying to figure out if this is a man coat or a lady coat. There was no stops. The internet was coming out, AI, whatever we could get access to was helping us determine if Brad was wearing a lady's jacket.
I had Jacob holding my jacket while I'm snapping a photo to then try to put in Google search to pop up. Nothing was working. It was popping up the wrong jackets, which was irritating. So then we have a woman walk in. She catches us doing this.
She does.
And I'm like, I might be wearing a woman's jacket. And she's like, okay, that's weird, but okay. MTD says, when in doubt, don't. He's probably right about that. But, to my pleasure, on the button, what does it say, Jacob?
It does say men's on the button. It says men. But, however, can we take that at face value nowadays? I'm just saying.
But why is the zipper on the left? Every man knows you zip from the right.
Correct.
You don't zip from the left. Universally, women zip from the... So...
Also, the shoulder pads were a dead giveaway. Okay.
So, I was probably like 12 or 13, and one of my cuckoo aunts gave me a Christmas gift.
It was a lady jacket.
One of my aunts gave me a corduroy shirt.
Hmm.
And this was back when corduroy was legit cool.
Like the thing.
It was the thing. I came home, it was purple. That was the first problem with this corduroy. But me, little Brad, baby hands Brad, I'm grateful for a gift. I was a preach. I'm like, hey, I got a shirt. I start putting it on and I'm like, hey, MTD, why are the buttons on the wrong side? This is throwing me off. Like, and MTD's like, oh, that's a lady's shirt. That's probably a 10 wore it. Probably a 10. And I was given a lady's shirt for Christmas when I was like 12.
So I'm concerned now because we're seeing a pattern.
Yeah, I keep getting lady stuff. I don't know. I thought the jacket looked cool. You know what? I rocked it on stage. I would rock it again. I would rock it again. It's not a bad jacket. But I kept thinking, is there a man in the crowd right now wondering why the zipper placement is on the left? Besides you, Jacob.
I definitely don't. MTD, what would you do if your one and only boy, Brad, shows up to visit you wearing this jacket? I mean, this has nothing to do with domestic disturbance.
MTD said he would wear a diaper in Times Square. He doesn't care.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. Yes, you would. He's like, take off the jacket, my boy. You ain't wearing a lady's jacket.
So there we have it. That's our week in a nutshell.
That's a week in a nutshell. And now we're here and we're like, you know what? Let's talk about domestic disturbance. Jacob, MTD, what was the budget on this movie? And how much did it make?
Right. The interesting thing while he's looking that up that I thought about this movie is like, this is Vince Vaughn in a serious role, which did not expect to see him in or know him for.
Wait, this movie made $75 million cost
$75 million.
How in the Lord did this made-for-TV Lifetime movie cost $75 million? The ladies that love on the pod should do this movie because this is a Lifetime movie.
Well, who's big in it? The only person that's big in it is John Travolta. He's kind of on his way out. Vaughn is nobody at this point. He's kind of coming into his own shortly.
And the fiance in Fokker.
Right. She's yes.
In Meet the Parents. And Steve Buscemi, I like him.
I got breasts. Can you milk me, Greg?
Yeah. Got breasts. Can you milk me, Greg? Jinxie's a cat fucker. She can't flush the toilet.
But Vince Vaughn's a nobody. $75 million is a lot of money for this movie.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn, Jacob and I had this conversation a couple days ago. Vince Vaughn had not even hit old school yet. So no. I don't understand what they spent. Was Travolta paid $20 million for this movie?
Well, who was the other? The other guy was pretty famous at that point. Who was the friend? What was that?
Steve Buscemi? No. Yeah. He wasn't that famous, right?
I mean, he was well known. Was this before Armageddon? Or after Armageddon?
After.
So he was known for Armageddon.
I'm looking it up here.
And Armageddon, Billy Madison. Like, he did some pretty big...
Holy... What? Travolta's salary for this movie was $20 million.
That's insane.
This was part of a deal when his career was at the high point, following the success of A General's Daughter. Yeah.
But $20 million back then? $20 million? Because it was 98?
No, this was 2001.
Oh, it was 2001, but still.
No, this is 2000. Yeah, it's 2001. Interesting fact about this movie, though. This movie came out in November 2001. Wasn't released on VHS until September of 2002.
Oh.
Do you think there was a little boy going, oh, man, I can't wait for that domestic disturbance to hit VHS. I've been waiting on this, man. I didn't go to the movies. I was like, I got to see Travolta, man. Do you think that was happening? Was anybody clamoring at the VH at the Blockbuster? And you know, you have that pencil, you know, you got that dork that's like putting the movies out and you're hoping he puts one behind Domestic Disturbance. Was there a kid going, are we getting any disturbances in? I need this movie bad, man.
I thought you were just describing your real life.
No, right, it was me.
But I was like, well, I didn't see this movie.
I did like going to the video store like every day if I could when I was a kid.
But back in the day, Blockbuster, man, you just went in there with no expectations. You got to peruse the aisles. But like, hey, this cover catches my fancy. And boom, you went and watched a movie.
Like, I was a movie fiend because this is how bad I wanted to watch movies. So MTD, when it was, I'll never forget, he doesn't really remember this, but this was Thanksgiving. And he was like, somebody loaned us a Dances with Wolves movie.
Oh, okay, so you're talking about like 3.5 hours, four hours?
I'm like, hey, you want to watch Dances with Wolves? And MTD's like, yeah, I'll watch that with you. So we all watched Dances with Wolves. I don't think I could sit through that now if you had a gun to my head. It would be so hard.
It's a good movie, but it's very long. And it's like, you've seen it once and you've seen enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. MTD doesn't remember. That's, I remember that because I'm like,
you went to
this
sleep.
Old man's watching a long one with me. We're in this for a while.
MTD's like, I'll take a nap at this point.
Yeah. Kevin, I do like Costner, but $20 million is a lot of money for this.
For this role.
Why the delay on VHS? Like, why do we wait 10 months to drop this on VHS?
They were trying to get as much out of the theater as they could to coop that $20 million.
How long was it in the theater for, though?
I was like, well, you got to remember, back then, movies would sometimes run a couple months to longer in theaters.
I'm looking right now.
It's a much different time. But yeah, so you have that, right? And then... The whole premise of this movie is just weird. So you have Vince Vaughn, stepdad, or soon to be.
Do you want
stepdad.
Me to give my synopsis, Jacob?
Oh yes, we need.
Can I give? I'm going to give my synopsis here. I've got a synopsis for us.
I want to hear it.
Okay, John Travolta plays a divorced boat builder who smells trouble when his ex-wife marries Vince Vaughn, a man who's allergic to acting subtle. Vaughn's new stepdad vibes are off from the start, probably because he's a literal murderer who can't stop glaring like a raccoon caught in a porch light. The kid witnesses him commit a crime, but of course, nobody believes the kid, because apparently the entire town of this movie lives in a bubble of willful stupidity. So Travolta goes full dad detective, tracking down evidence with the determination of a man who knows His toupee and his career is on the line. Vince Vaughn tries to play charming, but comes off like a serial killer doing a bad dating app profile. Oh, that is true. There's yelling, chasing, and stormy lighting to make you think God himself disapproved of this script. In the end, though, good triumphs. Evil gets arrested, and audiences everywhere whisper, "Wait, that was the movie?" The tagline for this movie should have been, "He builds boats, now he's about to rock one."
I like that. That was great.
That was good. I like that.
That was perfect. That's perfect.
I just summed up this crapper.
The first thing right off the gate with this movie, I have a problem with this movie, is, all right, imagine yourself, Brad. You're never going to happen to you. Divorcee, okay? And Kristen meets another feller, okay?
Yes.
And she's like, "Brad, I want him to interact with Max and get along with Max. So can you please bring him along with your activities to help him bond with your son and get along?" I'd be like, nah.
That's not even real life. There's no wife that has the cojones to sell. Okay, first off, Travolta's not a deadbeat dad. Like, this guy is plugged in. And I mean, he's going to the basketball games. He's doing it. Like,
his son loves him dearly in this. Like, you can tell the love is there. Yes.
His son worships him. Why would he be like, "Yeah, I'm going to make sure he likes Vince Vaughn"? Like, there's no way. I'm trying to make Vince Vaughn look like the biggest tool bag around.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, not happening. And then we take it one notch further, okay? If that wasn't enough, now he's got to go to his ex-wife's wedding to watch her get married to another dude.
Jacob, now, you know, when I watched this movie, I was thinking of you.
That's fair.
What would it take for you to go to your ex-wife's wedding?
Ooh, man, a lot. I mean, if someone's like, "Hey, look, if you go to this wedding, I'll pay off all your debt. You'll be debt-free afterwards." Even then, it would take, I don't know. I'm like, I need it paid up front first.
Why in Hollywood do we have to watch movies where this poor ex-husband has to sit through a free trip to Hawaii? I would do that.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Chris is like, "Okay, Brad, I want you to come to my wedding, and it's going to be in Hawaii." I'm like, "Okay, you know what I'm doing? If I don't even have a girlfriend, I'm hiring an escort that looks amazing." And I'm showing up.
She speaks no English, but hey.
She speaks no English. She's like, hello. And then Chris is like, "Oh, does she even speak English, Brad?" I'm like, "I don't know, but she's 21.
The poor girl is actually in her own language asking for help from others to get away from you, but no one can understand her.
And I keep saying, "She's 21. She's 21. And everybody's like, "Oh, that's funny. You see, Brad got a 21-year-old girl, man. She don't need to. What does that mean? What is MTD saying? She don't need to. What is that? What is it? "Oh, Brad, you come on. Look at my free wedding, Brad." She doesn't need to speak English.
She doesn't. That's true.
Yeah, I'd be like, "Kristen, she's the perfect girlfriend. I don't even have to talk to her. She just likes hanging around with me, like arm in arm. That's what we do. She's younger than your son, Brad."
Hold on. Let's back the bus up there, because you said you're getting an escort, so she's forced to hang out with you because you paid her to do
it. Yeah, but they don't know it. They don't know that I'm paying her to be my friend. I'm just flexing for my ex-wife. I want Kristen to see me with a 21-year-old girlfriend going, "Check that out."
And it is funny, though, that that's the way this movie starts, and the way that the producers thought this would be a good hook in to make such an unrealistic story right off the gate of dad trying to get a stepdad to enjoy and love his son and then go to his ex-wife's wedding.
Well, it also starts with John Travolta polishing a boat.
Yep.
And then my mind goes to, how many wooden boats are getting made? Like, how much time did he invest into this boat for these people? I mean, he had to be paid $50,000.
Yeah, well, not necessarily, because if you remember, the lady kind of scolds him because he sold it for super cheap. And she goes, if you keep doing this, we're not going to be in business anymore. Because he kept underselling it.
And then he did the boss power move. I'm leaving work for today. I'll catch you later.
He did.
He's like, and then he shows up at the basketball gym. And I'm like, okay, then the kid's not there. If I showed up at the basketball gym and Max was not there, alarm bells are going off in my mind right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, where's my kid? Where is he? Like, what's he doing? Why isn't he here?
This is when we learn that he's a terrible child.
Yeah, this kid's such a brat. Do you think this movie would have been better? I think they should have started it out with Vince Vaughn committing the murder in Jersey or wherever.
Yeah.
I think we need to see that action. We need to see the boom, boom.
I'm with you on that. I think we should. It would have been made a lot more sense if, like, it started off with us seeing Vince Vaughn in Chicago, where he was originally doing his bad thing, and then making his way here. So we had more investment into this Vince Vaughn character instead of waiting to the very end to be like, oh, this is why he's such a bad dude.
Yeah, the audience should know what Vince Vaughn is, but Travolta should figure it out.
Right. Yeah.
But instead, we're with John Travolta on this. We're just figuring it out. We're like investigating the boat guy. I mean, he's too nice of a guy. Travolta's too nice of a guy.
Okay. And we'll get to that point. It's getting down there. But yeah, so it's like, so Vince Vaughn's trying to play this guy, and then dude shows up at his, who did you think his friend was at first when he shows up at the wedding?
You talking about Buscemi?
Yeah. So he shows up at the wedding. Vaughn's acting all weird and strange. And I'm like, he's either some mob boss or he robbed some money from some people or something. Like, it was very clear that this wasn't a friend.
He's like, oh my gosh, that's the guy I hooked up with on the online. I can't, why is he here? Oh my gosh.
Why remember me?
You met me at the bar.
Why is my Bumble date here? How do you find me?
Wait, you're gay? We're supposed to know that. The whole new movie at this point. hilarious.
How are you reacting to your point, like when you said like they should show up at this basketball game, the kid's not there, and then they get the call from the police that he's at the police station because he tried to run away or do something stupid. And they go down there. There's like no punishment for this kid whatsoever. There's like, oh, we love you. We understand. No, you're grounded for life at that point.
Oh, I'm beating the crap out of Max when we get home. I'm like, hey, man.
They're just like,
this hand, your butt.
We understand. We understand your feeling. No, there's no understanding.
But in this kid's defense, I'm not even going to defend this kid because because I would get it if John Travolta was like, I hate your mama. She's a terrible person. She's a lady of the night. Like, but they like each other. They're genuine friends. They're parenting good. Like, there's no drama. This kid's living in Dude, this kid is like George Costanza. He gets two Christmases, two birthdays. I mean, he is counting the gifts. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting all that. Two birthday cakes, man. That's great.
Do you think that? Yeah. He's just, I don't know, man. The kid was freaking out over nothing, like, because his mom was dating again. It's like, but here's what's funny. Did you catch this? Here's what's funny. The kid's living a double standard here, okay? Mm-hmm. John Travolta's dating a chick. So why is he not all upset at his dad that he's shacking up with some other girl, but mom's finding love in another guy, and he's like, rebellion!
Not only another guy, it looks like a rich guy. I mean, he's got money. And John Travolta looks like he's just dating the girl that works at the diner.
He is.
Yeah. And he looks like he's living in a shack. Yeah. I'm like, and she's shacking up with him, and they're not even married.
No. But the kid's fine with that. He's like, that's fine. I love you, Dad.
Double standard. I guess Max would be like, Mom, you can't date. Dad, you got a nice escort that's 21 years old.
He's like, he's fist bumping you. Way to go, Dad.
What's up, Dad? Look at me. Why are you fist bumping your dad, Max?
Oh, man.
Kristen, enjoy your 80-year-old husband.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it is double standard time. He's living in the double standard world. He's got to let that go. But I get Vince Vaughn is giving off Ted Bundy vibes.
He does. It's weird. But, okay, so that he does do that, but then why is it that when things come to be, no one believes the kid? They're like, no, he wouldn't do this. Why would he lie about this? And you're a big lie. Like, they just totally dismiss this kid.
Because that guy's, like, got a lot of money, and they gave him the key to the town.
What's he do? Okay, but what is he doing in the town? They really never discuss what his job is or why he has all this money or why he's giving the key to the city.
And does that incinerator just stay on all the time? I feel like that's a big power bill. Like, you got a lot of gas, whatever, it's keeping it hot. It's going on.
There's not a lot in this movie from the time we learn about that the kid doesn't like that they're getting married to the time where it's like, okay, let's get to the meat of this movie.
It's like they spend the first half and they're like, ah, forget it. Let's just end this movie. Travolta needs to just start finding this stuff out. Let's just let him start.
So the kid, I don't know what his plan was, but he was like, the kid's about to run away because he finds out this is a rotten kid, man. So they're married. They find out they're having a baby. Exciting news. Not for this kid. It's like his world just ended because she's having a kid with her new husband. So his runaway tactic is, let me sneak in his car because he's leaving and follow him. And I just lay down in the seat.
Well, yeah. And then would you worry Vince Vaughn's going to look in the back seat?
Who wouldn't? How many times did Vince Vaughn walk around the car and his buddy walk around the car? It's not like he's like tucked under the seat, right? He's just laying on the floor. Like, the moment you look down there, you're going to see a white kid laying on the floor of this car. I mean,
it's so weird. I'm like, it'd be better if they had like jackets or a blanket in the car and he could like cover up with it.
Yeah.
It would be more realistic. Nothing. He's just laying there.
And Peter Ogden's popping up like, huh? Can you see?
And he's listening, and they're laying it all out in this car. Like, this is the scene where the screenwriter was so lazy. They're like, we're just gonna be so expired. We're just gonna drop it right here. So he's like, you remember when we were in Chicago, and you stabbed it 8 feet, 8 times, 4 feet from her. I mean, it just
they really do. They're like, you know what? We didn't explain nothing at the beginning, so we're just gonna the next 5 minutes. Let's just lay out why we're here.
Yeah, we've got this movie's an hour 26, so we're gonna get in and we're gonna get out. So he's like, remember, you used that one blade the from the second compartment.
Big factor too that we have to touch on, because this doesn't make sense why you would do this either. So Vince Vaughn is trying to hide, right? That's the whole concept, is why he's moved to this small town. He's trying to go incognito, right? And stay hidden. And this dude is looking for him. So if that's the case, and you're trying to be incognito, your idea of incognito is become the richest person in the town to get all the accolades of the town, and then put your wedding announcement in a newspaper and have the biggest house in the town, but you think no one's going to find you.
Okay, let's get back to the wedding announcements in the paper. MTD, we used to get the newspaper when I was growing up. And I would always, on Sundays, that's when you saw the wedding announcements.
Was that really a thing?
MTD. Talk about that on your, type in to Jacob. Like, you would be like, oh, I didn't realize Jacob was getting married. And you'll see your photo, you're like, bride.
I remember reading the dead people in the paper. Oh, yeah.
Well, there's the events, but there's also the weddings.
Okay.
It'd be like, Brad and Kristen married June 19th by Pastor Jacob. And then, like, just where, you know, the couple plans to honeymoon in Cancun.
That's right. And I do. Now you mentioned, I do remember that, because you remember during that time frame, that's when like the news started coming out, like with safety tips of like, stop posting your wedding things in newspapers because burglars would just read to see that you're on your honeymoon and out of town and they would come rob your house.
Yeah. You're like basically going, hey guys, I'm out of town. If you want to come get my 28 inch television, by all means, it's yours. MTD still looks at obits today.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. MTD, do you check out the obituaries daily? I do.
Did you and Kristen put your wedding announcement in a newspaper?
No, we did not. I think it costs money. I'm a cheat. But MTD, do you also look at lockup in your local town? You will when you get older. Do you look at the lockup in your town too, where it shows mugshots of every day? I knew it.
When you get older, do you look at the obituaries to see who has gone on, or is it like a victory counter? Like, oh, I survived that one. I beat this one.
I outlived that sucker. He ran every day, and I sit and watch Price is Right. Who's the winner now?
The Price is Wrong, Bob. Yeah.
You're pushing daisies while I'm eating a burger. I do check out ages.
We went so morbid so quick.
Sure, I'm alive in a diaper, but I'm still alive.
I'm still beating you.
You're dead, sucker.
Oh, you're, man. You're calling surviving relatives and be like, I beat them.
So I want to pitch this because I wanted to call you today to tell you this. This idea came to me. So we're talking about weddings.
Uh-huh.
I have an idea. MTD, I want you to listen to this. Of a movie. No, a TV show. There's a TV show. It's a 7-episode television show. Each day, each episode is a day.
Okay.
So let's take, for instance, the main character is a dude who is getting married to a woman that he's, you know, partially into, but he's been kind of a jerk. You know, he's wanting to get married just because he's like, I just got to get married, right?
Okay.
So for his bachelor party, his best buddy puts a bag of a pillowcase over his head, strips him down, puts a straight jacket on him, drops him in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, and he's got a note that says, you have 7 days to find your wedding. So he has to figure out how to get there. There's no cell phone. He can't use a cell phone.
Apparently can't use his hands either.
Yeah, he's got to get out. He's got to find someone. But here's the thing. So every day you're experiencing a new journey as he's making his way closer to the wedding. But everyone on the show is in on it. They're all in on it. So everyone gives him another clue.
Okay.
As to where he's at and to how to find the wedding venue.
Here's my question, though. Yes. I got a quick question. So you say he needs to find someone to help get out of the straitjacket. Who is helping a dude running out of the woods going, get me out of the jacket?
Because they're all a part of it. It turns out, at the end, the fiance hired all these people to teach him a lesson. And when he finally finds her in the last episode, he realizes how much he loves her. And it was all a game. Everything was a game from start to finish. Every action had a reaction. And every reaction caused something else. So he had to figure out how to make it on his own because he was entitled and spoiled. And she wanted to bring him down a notch.
I like that.
Would you watch that? MTD, would you watch this?
But I want to piggyback off and make a game show of... You are a reality game show, real people. Yeah. And the whole premise of the game show is just like your concept, you put them in straitjackets and throw them out in the woods, except for they have to go into real society. And whoever the first one is to get someone to let them out of this straitjacket, they win the game. Because trying to convince someone to let some nut out of the straitjacket that just came tumbling out of the woods, it's going to be virtually impossible.
This is the first episode. You come running at me, telling me you need me to take your straight jacket on. This is what we're going to do. You come running at me. This is the first episode.
Brad, I got to get on this jacket, man. Get me out.
This is 911. How am I helping you?
100%.
Yeah, then, there's a weird dude in a straight jacket. Did he escape from the asylum? I don't know. Was there an escape? I'm checking on that. Can you describe the patient for me?
At this point, I'm just headbutting your windshield. Like, let me out of this go.
Maybe he's a zombie. Are there zombies? You know what? I'm just going to shoot him. Okay. Then the game's over.
Instead of being eliminated, you permanently actually get put in a psych ward if you get caught by an actual police officer.
You're in the psych ward, and all he says is movie torture over and over again. Movie torture.
This is your fault, Brad.
No, but I think you have a point there, though. Like, this TV show could spawn a reality show of, like, hey, this is the real life version of the TV show you watch.
It's almost like your TV show, awesome idea, and I think if you did it in reality, it's almost like a Scared Straight type show of you're trying to scare people into the reality of this is the person they're supposed to be with.
Yeah, because this guy has been so rich his whole life. He's everything's handed to him, so now he has to survive just to make it to the venue if he truly wants to marry this woman. And you become grateful for things when you don't have them.
Right.
So yeah. I think that was what... It's kind of like, did you ever see... We should do this movie. The Game with Michael Douglas. That's a great movie.
I have, but I do not remember anything about it.
It's hard to remember it, but the whole movie's... Everyone's in on it. It's a game. He gets tortured. This is kind of like that, but each episode is a day. So you're watching a day in the life of this guy. And his truck, where it's like a 25-minute episode. I'm trying to get to the place. I think this would work.
It would work. I think it'd be a pretty awesome show.
I'll pitch it to my screenwriting partner, now, Ashley. Host of Locks of Laughs.
Is this for you? Like 250? You need to start a journal, a book, where you write down all your ideas so you have every single one just written out and flushed out on paper.
You sound like my wife. Kristen's like, you need to write all these ideas down, Brynn. And I'm like, but in our defense, Ashley and I are writing a show right now. So that is happening.
Or?
Slowly, because we always have excuses not to meet on Fridays.
It is. Or even a better idea, you said on another pod that you host, Delusional Fandom, if you love sports, go and listen to that. You did mention this week about Max needing more chores. And what better chores than him to follow you around as your scribe and write down your ideas as you spit them out?
Okay, I'm a big Seinfeld guy. MTD, do you remember, Jacob, do you remember when Kramer had the assistant Kenny follow him around everywhere? Mr. Kramer, and he would write down, that would be Max with me. Yes. Because it's like, why does Kramer have an assistant? He doesn't do anything.
I don't remember that episode because if you remember, I hate Seinfeld.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. How do you not like it?
I have never watched. I maybe watched two episodes.
Jacob, you're one of the coolest guys I know, but that is not cool.
Maybe one day, if I can find it for free, I will watch it and give it another fair chance.
Here it is. Look. Mr. Kramer would like to schedule. That would be Max.
You got Max just following you around with a notebook and pen.
MTD says it's a great show. It is. Oh, Max would be so awful. He'd be like, Dad, I don't want to do this. Oh, my God.
Those ideas are dumb. I don't want to write.
Dad just farted.
Oh, that's 100% what would be happening. Yes, it would be. Dad just made a toot.
Funniest thing about Delusional Fandom.
Do you like Curb? Yes.
Well, if you like Curb, you should like Seinfeld. Curb's better, though. It's better. Funny thing about Delusional Fandom that the fans don't get to see. When we log off and we stop recording, it's me, Jonathan, and Max just shooting
your
breeze.
Shirts off.
Yeah, we take our shirts off. Last night, our host, I consider Jonathan the main host of the show. He literally gets up, stands on his chair, turns his butt to the camera, and goes, he ripped the biggest fart on Max and I. All we saw was his butt in the camera and a big fart. I'm like, on that note, I'm leaving. And I just logged off.
But here's the problem. We don't have proof of this.
Yeah, because it's not recorded. But he definitely did it. If we brought Max on right now, Max would say, yeah, he definitely ripped tail on us. So where are we in this movie, by the way?
We're basically at the point. So he gets in the car with them. He's supposed to be going to take his friend to go get the money that he owes him. And he's like, oh, don't worry. It's just right over here. And then he stabs him with the smallest little like ice pick thing in the world. But that was like an instant kill shot of this little tap to the back with this thing. And dude was dead instantly.
There was no blood either.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because that bugged me the whole time during that. I'm like, there's not a drip of blood anywhere. So what are you wiping down? He's all wiping down the seat. There's like no blood stain whatsoever.
Dude, I've scratched my arm, a little scratch from like picking a scab, and it won't stop bleeding. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm bleeding like, you know, like how did this guy get stabbed to death? And there's no blood. I do want to say that. I want to get back to the wedding. This guy shows up. And the screenwriter is not very subtle. I mean, this guy shows up and you know he's bad news from the beginning.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm going to get me a prostitute. I'm going to be a, where are the ladies of the knights? I need them. Like, he's so not subtle. And when he dies, you're just like, and then they're like, he checks out of the hotel, which is another, like, you know, he's about to check out of the movie.
Correct, right. You're 100% correct. They like they left no mystery whatsoever. You're like, as soon as you see him step into the scene, you're like, okay, him and Vaughn have a history. It ain't good. And we're about to see things go down.
The screenwriter could have been a little more creative and been like, you know what? We could have his friend, Steve Buscemi, working undercover for the FBI Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
There could have been that. And then there could have been, I don't know. But then he puts him in the incinerator, which.
But that's the problem, right? They couldn't play that way because they have to have the kill. Otherwise, this whole kid story doesn't make sense, right? And number two, how does he have access to this incinerator, number one?
That's like, his business. That's his job, right? I think that's where he works.
I don't think it is, though. I think he sells real estate.
I don't know what the crap he does.
I don't either. I don't think it's laying brick or making
bricks.
He's
an importer, exporter. So you're telling me this guy just is like, you know what? I'm going to walk in this brick place, and I hope the incinerator's on. It may not be, but I've heard it stays on. Exactly.
And he knows how to run it perfectly. And then they're like, he gets cooked, right? Like extra crispy. And apparently this is the world's strongest incinerator ever. Because they're like, oh, we searched the incinerator. There's not an ounce of anything about someone's body being in there. That ain't happening.
No, there's going to be bone fragments. There's going to be something. I mean,
yes.
MTD, do you think a guy could be in a furnace and not leave something in there? There's got to be something. Because if that's the case, perfect murder. Throw your person you're murdering in an incinerator.
Right. But even in this is morbid, but even in a cremation, they kind of have to sift you out to get all the to get all your stuff that didn't go.
Wouldn't there be body ashes in there or something?
Ashes, bone, all kinds, yes.
Bone fragment does not always disintegrate.
Burn, correct.
Okay.
Plot hole.
It was such a stupid, like he's like, no blood. Like you want to see some blood. He throws him in there. Kid sees it. Nobody believes. I don't understand why nobody believes this kid, by the way.
One of the stupidest scenes in this movie, though, is when they're at there, right? The kid has every opportunity just to stand still, run away, do whatever. But no, he's going to stick around because, you know, we got to do that in the movie. But then he opens the back door and escapes out the back door and leaves it open. And then Vince Vaughn is like, does someone open my back door after I shut it? And it's like, come on, this is lazy writing right now.
Oh, my God. This is so lazy. I feel like movie torture could buy the property of domestic disturbance, and we could turn this into a remake that's pretty amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Without breaking a sweat.
What do you think Travolta... I mean, I know why Travolta did this. There's 20 million reasons why John Travolta did this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he got paid.
I wonder what Vince Vaughn's paycheck was. I'm going to look.
But then, so no one believes the kid. They search everything and they're not there. The dad at first, Mr. Travolta, does not believe the kid. But then has an epiphany somewhere. It was like, oh, you know what? I do believe my kid because my kid never lies to me.
It doesn't say what his salary was. But, you know, if Max came to me and he said, Dad, Mom's new husband killed a man. I'd be like, I knew he was crazy, first off.
The way you were saying that sounds like you're about to bust out in Queen. Mama!
Mama!
Just killed a man!
I've never been born at all. Scott-a-boo, Scott-a-boo. What did they say?
I love how you mumbled all the way through there until you got to that.
Nothing really matters.
Well, we just destroyed that popular song.
Max breaks out in there. I'm like, hey, no show tunes, dude. No fancy pants in my house. No, but he's like, Dad, man, this guy murdered someone. I'm believing Max because why in the world would my kid bring up murder? You don't go zero to murder.
Correct.
There's in between somewhere.
Yeah.
If he's coming back and he's like, Dad, he's beating me. Okay. I want to know, is he really beating you? But if he's saying I saw him murder somebody and now we can't find, you know, Billy from Big Lebowski.
Well,
something's up with that.
And then this is where we get to the good stuff. The meat and potatoes.
Is
of this
there
movie.
Good stuff in this movie? I'm like, really?
Vaughn and the tension between Vaughn and the kid, because now they both confront each other of knowing that he knows that Vaughn did it. Vaughn knows we can't kill the kid because it's his wife's kid. So he basically threatens him and he's like, you'll listen and not say a word, boy.
Or I'll pull the belt out. Jacob, we actually forgot to talk about the craziest, funniest scene is when they're throwing the baseball. Like,
oh, yes.
Yeah. First off, I feel like that kid's way too old to be excited about it. Ooh, a baseball glove. I love it. Let's go throw. Let's have catch. Like, it's really weird.
That was some angry catch.
And he's like, if you're not going to throw it, yeah, then let's not throw it at all. And I'm like, God, dude, why don't you ease up on this boy, man?
And he started like crashing out on the dad because he's like, if your dad taught you to throw, he didn't teach you right.
If your dad, Max, if your dad taught you to podcast, he didn't teach you right.
Max, your dad taught you to throw with those baby hands. I'm going to teach you to throw with man hands.
Welcome to the new delusional fandom with Max's new dad and Mac.
Oh, that'd be messed up.
Oh, my gosh. He starts a whole new delusional fandom. And Max is on there, too.
It starts a competing podcast.
Max is torn between who to be on, my show with Jonathan or that show with him. Delusional dad shows up on both shows. He's like, hey, I love both over here.
Ah, that'd be torturous.
Oh, my gosh. Jacob, would you subscribe to Kristen's new husband's delusional fandom show with Max?
No.
I wouldn't either.
You're my best bud. I'm sticking loyal.
Yeah, we stick together, ride or die.
But yeah, the ending of this movie was honestly the part up until we figured out who Vaughn was actually not terrible. Until we got to this end part where they finally everything comes guard. Travolta knows what happened. He knows he did it. And the fighting ensues, and he burns down his boathouse, which is sad.
I know. Like, this guy does like two boats a year. And
he
you just ruined
his whole factory down. Like the mom finally comes to clue that this happened because she sees him. Why? Okay. Here's a good point. So you burn down the ex-husband's boathouse, right? It's all over the news. Okay. The burn. And what do? You go home to the wife or ex-wife of the person you just burned his boathouse down to mend your burned wounds on your arm because your arm has got like third degree burns on it.
Yeah.
And then her shocked, that was so cheesy, her shocked look on her face like, oh, he is the murderer. She's like, we gotta go, boy. Let's go.
You ain't going nowhere. I'm burning you down. Yeah, it was a... I don't know. By the time we get to the end, I'm ready for the end. I'm like, can we just forget this? I kept wanting Owen Wilson to show up and be like, hey, are we going to do some wedding crashing, man?
Oh, come on, though. The fight scene was so great where Vaughn's got the aluminum bat. Travolta's got the metal chair, and he's just holding it at one position, and Vaughn's just continually swinging the one position. He doesn't try to sweep the legs. He doesn't try to do another maneuver. Nope, just keep going up and down on the chair so you can...
Doesn't he get hit in the head really hard? He does, yep. Right?
Yeah.
He would die with that too, right? Like, it's over. It's game, okay, set, match at that point.
That's over when Travolta smashes hits the electrical box with the bat, or chair, whatever he hit it with. Like, it immediately erupts and sparks. That ain't happening. You're going to put a dent in the case. It ain't going to make the whole panel start sparking out and going crazy. It was like you said, they just like, all right, time to wrap up this movie. Let's end this as fast as possible. Let's make this get done quickly.
Yeah, it was like, let's get this done. I did read, though, that they had like a really long cut of this movie. Could you imagine? I think I read that online. A 2.5 hour cut?
Of what? Of this? There's a whole scene that they cut out of him and Vaughn bonding and making a boat together, and they're like standing it with
you. You really want to get in good with my son. Here's what you got to do. You give me $100 a week.
You just paying him off.
No, where did I see that at? Okay, hold on. Vince Vaughn was arrested during this movie for a bar fight in North Carolina. Where it was
really at. Okay.
This film was edited 3 times to get down to a PG-13. Oh, here it is. The film's original cut was 111 minutes. Okay, that's not quite 2 hours. That's still a long time.
Too long.
And they cut it to 89, which leaves the film with many plot holes and characters showing up and leaving without a trace.
So basically, they made this longer version, just came in and started hacking it, but not filling it back in. And then you're left with what you got.
Yeah.
What were they putting into it that was so make it rated R? Like, they had to get it down to a PG-13.
But they did drop an F-bomb in this movie.
Once. So maybe it was the constant swearing and they changed it?
Maybe. Vince Vaughn's like, I got to get one F in here, man. I'm sorry. You got to have one F.
I mean, that is his.
The best would have been if he would have said, earmuffs, earmuffs. Remember he did that in Old School?
Yes.
He'd tell the kid to earmuff every time he dropped an F-bomb.
And basically this thriller, psycho thriller of a movie ends with Vaughn getting himself electrocuted, but not dead, and gets arrested and goes to jail. And the mom and dad going, I'm so sorry, son, for not believing you.
I read something else that blew my mind too. Speaking of the death, hold on. I want to find it. 'Cause this was funny to me.
Because, right, Vaughn does not die. He stays alive. He gets arrested.
He didn't die?
Did he die?
Oh, he died. He was dead.
Oh, was he dead? Okay.
He died. John Travolta said he had an idea for an extra step in the end where after Vince Vaughn was electrocuted, he played dead for a few seconds, then bolted up, now much stronger. I mean, now we're into, like, Superman kind of deal.
Because that would have saved this movie.
From the electricity, and then they fought again.
Vaughn gets up. He's like, I'm Electro Man.
He has like... That would have been hilarious. They should have done that.
Hey,
it would have been... You know what movie I've never seen that we should do?
What's that?
Shocker.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Oh my gosh, it's a Wes Craven movie.
Is it?
Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna tell you what it's called. We should do this movie. It's a psychotic serial killer is finally caught thanks to a high school football player who has a strange connection to the killer. Right before getting executed, he performs a demonic ritual and uses electricity to bring him back from the dead. The poster is amazing, by the way.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's something.
I've never seen this. On October 2nd, mass murderer Horace Pinker. What a name for him.
What a horrible name.
Why don't we call him Danny Turner? Nope.
Horace Pinker.
Was put to death. Now he's really mad.
Like, what? He's starring really upset.
John Tesh is it? Starring Peter Berg. Who's Pinker? He's a director. Heather Langenkamp is in this. Wes Craven. Is it available anywhere? I don't know. We might have to find this somewhere on the interwebs. We'll find it somewhere.
You have to Pinker to find the Pinker.
Horace Pinker. He sounds like an old man in Driving Miss Daisy. Call old Horace up. He'll drive you.
If you described nothing about this movie to me and you said, hey, I want to watch this movie with you. It has a character named Horace Pinker. I think we're watching some old movie like Grizzly Adams, where he's out up in the woods somewhere living in a shanty.
Yeah, not Mining Shocker. For gold. Wes Craven's Shocker.
Oh, man.
Wes Craven, is he one of the most overrated directors?
Oh, 100% yes.
Yeah, like, he's overrated.
Very much so.
He's got maybe three solid movies on his list, and the rest are like, they're okay.
But he gets credited for all these great movies.
They call him the master of horror.
No.
I would say John Carpenter better.
Yeah.
Agreed. That's what I would say. I like how we just went into... Jacob, any bad reviews for this movie?
Any bad reviews for this
There's got to be. Any bad reviews for John Travolta's wig?
I feel like this particular review hit hard with me because I felt like me and you could have wrote this and probably do write it a lot. It said, I knew this would be dreadful, and yet I still watched it. What's wrong with me?
I couldn't look away.
Another one. There was a lot of these. There was like, why did I watch this? Completely forgettable movie. Can't even be too sure I even saw it. It's forgettable.
Man, was she on like an edible or something during this movie? I don't even know if I watched it.
It was terrible. MTV's
like, I didn't watch it. I ain't watching this crap.
But that was some of the, a lot of this. This movie could have been 15 minutes long. That's good.
100% this could have been a Lifetime movie. Right?
Yeah, easy. Like a 90-minute or a one-hour movie. Yeah.
Yeah, this could have been a Lifetime movie starring any Lifetime actor that our friends Cher and Jessica review on Love on the Pod.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I have a couple five stars. This one is from Sherry McCready.
Okay.
September 14th, 2025. Never fails, man. These losers, they just got to write a review. She writes, great suspense thriller, excellent movie, great cast.
Think about this just for a moment on that one, right? These people, okay, we are watching this movie for the pure fact we probably most likely know it's going to be terrible, hence our name, Movie Torture. These people, however, are watching this movie with pure delight, thinking it's going to be one of the best movies they've ever watched.
Yeah, I mean, a Rocky Mountain region writes, five stars, one of my all-time favorite movies.
Really? Out of all cinema movies that have been put out, this is like top four, top three.
This one right here. Andaya Muhammad writes, five stars. If you like action and drama and suspense, this is the movie to see. I like John Travolta's role as a divorced father and display of loyalty and a strong bond to his son.
I'd rather
not the
watch...
ending. Paul writes, not the ending I expected. You knew Vince Vaughn was dead meat in the beginning,
yes,
right?
100%.
This movie would be way better if Vince Vaughn electrocuted Travolta and still lived on with her.
The movie spelled that out for you, what was going to happen. They made sure you understood what was happening. They didn't act it out. They just told you.
They're like, we're going to do some talking here. And, you know, we're going to let you know what's going on here.
I would rather watch John Travolta in Hairspray than see him in this again.
I would probably rather watch John Travolta in that Gotti movie or...
Oh, Gotti. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I've never seen it. Looks stupid. I'm 50-50 on Travolta movies. Some of them I like, some of them I don't.
Yeah. He's another one. Like, he's got a lot of fame for an actor that really hasn't, in my mind, played in any really huge movies that are like absolute like stoppers, like just boom movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jacob, movie torture, movie gold.
This one's torture. It was garbage.
Yeah.
And couldn't end fast enough.
Yeah, I'm going to say torture myself. I didn't like it, but I'm going to ask you. Last week's episode was Look Who's Talking.
Uh-huh.
We've had two consecutive weeks with the Travolta.
Yes.
I liked the Travolta and Look Who's Talking way better than 100%.
And that was gold. And he actually acted in that one. I mean, it was pretty decent.
I think he's funny. I think he's better and he's funny. He can be funny. So
can you do, but here's the problem, right? He can do funny, but he does do better at serious. Like Face Off, he was really good in that. And that's more of a serious role.
But he was good in Wild Hogs.
And he was good in Wild Hogs. But Vaughn, on the other hand, cannot do serious. He is a comedian actor, period. Like,
he's hard to take seriously.
100%.
But on the flip side, I feel like Adam Sandler can do serious and you enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The whole time I was waiting for Vaughn to be like, "You're my boy, Blue." And then Blue comes running out.
It must. Baby wants, baby gets. Baby wants, baby gets. And he just real talk fast and like he's. Yeah.
I think that was one big problem with this movie. It was hard to take Vaughn serious.
This was torture. And I want to see before we close, I want to start doing this segment when we do these older movies. I was thinking about this actually just now. What was their next movie after this one?
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like John Travolta, when he was done with $20 million in this movie, which was, talk about, they should have put that $20 million in the incinerator in this movie. Cause that's basically what they did, man.
Talk about a just easy cake payday right there.
He appeared in the next starring movie of Basic, which I enjoy Basic with Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Good movie. That's a great movie. I enjoy that. It's really good. And then he did The Punisher, and he starts to fade a little bit after that. Wild Hogs and Hairspray.
Wild Hogs was good.
Yeah. The last theatrical movie he was in was... I think the last theatrical movie John Travolta appeared in was in 2012, Savages.
Okay. I'm sure all he's the done rest some, of his, like, TV
Oh,
movies.
He's done a ton of movies, but they've all been, like...
Stinker.
Trading Paint.
Yeah.
The Poison Rose.
There are a bunch of, like, TV movies. Yeah.
Paradise City. Like, nothing good, man. Like... Okay, and then let's look at one more. Let's see what Vince Vaughn's next movie was.
Mr. Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn's next movie. So Vince Vaughn's making this movie, and he's like, you know what? I'm about to hit it big. I'm about to be bigger than Travolta. His next movie was Old School.
Which was good.
So
amazing.
Let's start from here on out. Let's start ranking. Like, that's a solid 9 score for your next movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
John Travolta, what did we say his next movie was?
Wild Hogs.
No. No, his next movie wasn't Wild Hogs after Domestic Disturbance. Oh, Basic. Basic. That's a solid 5.
Yeah, I'd give it a 6. I'd say 6.
6. Okay, so I'm giving Vince Vaughn right now, Leader in Clubhouse, next movie.
Correct.
It's hard to beat Old School. It's going to be hard to see an actor come around and beat that one.
Agreed. Yeah.
That's a big one. I will say Couples Retreat, one of my least favorite Vince Vaughn
movies. Good,
but
it's like a one and done type movie.
And The Dilemma is another one I didn't really enjoy that much.
I did not like that one, no.
That's where he sees his wife having an affair or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't want that.
But again,
if you saw Kristen,
try to go
you
back
would tell
serious.
Me, right?
100%.
You would tell me, right?
Yes.
Good. Oh man, what an episode. I loved it. Oh, man, we learned a lot today. Baby has Brad. Where's lady clothes? MTD says, hey, Brad, lose the jacket. You know what? I'm wearing the jacket next episode. I'm going to have it on just for you, MTD.
I appreciate MTD so much that the fact that we went an hour talking and he was waiting to scold you about your lady coat.
He's like, you know what? We're not hanging out anymore. Okay, I'll be back next episode. I promise. Hey, for MTD, the legend, for Jacob, my name is Brad. We will see you next week on Movie Torture.